In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about mothers, and this particular day, about a mother's fears. You know my dear friend Amy Carmichael, don't you? Not that I ever met her, but I have read her books many, many times. I actually wrote a book about her life called A Chance to Die. She was an Irish missionary in India and became the mother of hundreds of Indian children whom she had rescued from moral danger. She wrote this poem about a mother's fears. Far in the future lieth a fear like a long, low mist of gray, gathering to fall in dreary rain. Thus doth thy heart within thee complain. And even now thou art afraid, for round thy dwelling the flying winds are ever telling of the fear that lieth gray, like a gloom of brooding mist upon the way. But the Lord is always kind. Be not blind to the shining of His face, to the comforts of His grace. Hath He ever failed thee yet? Never, never. Wherefore fret? Oh, fret not thyself, nor let thy heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Near by thy footfall springeth a joy, like a new-blown little flower, growing for thee to make thee glad. Let thy countenance be no more sad, but wake the voice of joy and health within thy dwelling. And let thy tongue be ever telling, not of fear that lieth gray, but of little laughing flowers beside the way. For the Lord is always kind. Be not blind. Be not blind to the shining of His face, to the comforts of His grace. He hath never failed thee yet. Never will His love forget. O fret not thyself, nor let thy heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That poem has meant so much to me, as I'm tempted as a grandmother to fear for the future of my grandchildren, who are growing up in what seems a very dangerous and almost a totally godless world. But we know it's not a godless world. God is in the world. He loves those children. We can pray for them, as Amy Carmichael prayed for her 700 children and for their surrogate mothers. She had a family of over 1,000, counting the 700 children and the young women who took care of those little children. You have heard several times from my friend Arlita Winston, and I have a letter here from Arlita that she wrote telling about some of her fears as a mother. This is actually from a family letter that she writes to her children. It's called The Stork, and graciously, Arlita has been sending me a copy of this stork letter. And she addresses a paragraph to her only daughter, Sarah. She says, "Sarah, your recent letter on the war has stirred me to the core, and I think I would like to answer it by way of stories of my life. The stories will need to spill over to subsequent issues of this letter because of the length. The fears of a mother with her children in days like these. These fears are a standing invitation for our Lord, who says, 'I am looking all around to see on whose behalf I can be strong.' You're already familiar with some of these stories, but for all of our sakes, let me recount them to remind us of the goodness and mercies of the Lord, to remind us that He is on the throne, sovereignly in charge. His crown has not slipped, and we are His very own. We are the Father's gift to Jesus. Jesus said, 'My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. It was in 1947, and I was 8, says Arlita. For 6 very long months, my daddy was in China with Bob Pierce, preaching their hearts out 4 times a day, and sometimes more. While in Xi'an, in a meeting with 10,000, just as Daddy was ready to give the altar call, the lights all over the stadium went out. There was mass confusion, and the meeting had to be dismissed. At this time, Daddy wondered, what if the lights go out in all of China like that? A divine urgency was to bring him back just before all the lights would go out. 1948, Daddy returned for 4 months, primarily to find a house so that we could join him, but also to preach. Uncle Paul was born during those days. Now Mother had 5 of us. He searched for a house, nothing. His final weekend with large meetings, he said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to give everything in me to these meetings, waiting before you. I can't look for a house any longer. If I can't find a house by now, I'll take it as my answer from you that the family is not to come." That very weekend, the Nationalist General approached him, offering his home complete with furnishings and no key money. Key money was a huge factor involving thousands of dollars that had to be given up front. President Truman was reelected in that November's election, and the armies started that very night moving south from Peking. Newspapers screamed, "American families evacuate Shanghai." The Lord spoke to Mother's heart. "You don't have to go, but if you're going to go, you must go now." Just then, a cable arrived from Daddy. "Take President Wilson, a ship, leaving February 11th, 1949, San Francisco, shop for 3 years. Imagine your husband giving you orders that you had to shop for everything you were going to need for 3 years. Excitement ran high. Mother sold all our household goods, and what a shopping spree we had. I still recall with clarity standing in the dressing room of the department store, trying on dress after dress. "Do you like this one, and this one, and this one?" And we took them all. I wonder if she knew that I was going to grow so tall, and was there enough hem allowance? I had my 10th birthday on board that ship. It's all as clear as though it had been last week. Plowing through the ocean, finally pulling slowly into the harbor in the early hours of dawn. The glorious morning we were disembarking onto a new world. Shining yellow bodies dove into the sea to catch our pennies that we threw from the upper decks. Sampans bobbed like corks below us, loaded with carved camphor chests to sell to rich tourists. How on earth did they ever transact their business? I've often wondered that. How did the tourist get their goods after haggling for their price? Daddy was there to meet us. A mother's fears allayed in the mercy and the grace of God. Also, here's a quotation that reminds us that the future is not our province. How often we need to be reminded of that. The future does not belong to us. God is already there. It belongs to Him. Now listen to this. "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. As God leads me, will I go, nor choose my way. Let him choose the joy or woe of every day. They cannot hurt my soul, because he is in control. I leave to him the whole, his children may." Why is it that we're so busy with the future? It is not our province. And is there not a criminal interference with him to whom it belongs in our feverish, anxious attempts to dispose of it, and in filling it up with shadows of good and evil shaped by our own wild imaginations? To do God's will as fast as it is made known to us, to inquire every hour, I almost said every moment, what he requires of us, and to leave ourselves, our friends, and every interest at his control, with a cheerful trust that the path which he marks out leads to our perfection and to himself. This is both our duty and our happiness. why will we not walk in the plain, simple way? Fear drains our spiritual energy. Fear accomplishes nothing positive. Furthermore, it's disobedience, isn't it? Because God tells us again and again in His Word, and among Jesus' last words to His disciples, He said to them several times, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not." We are arrogating to ourselves something that doesn't belong to us when we try to control the future, when we allow fears of the future to sap our energies. If we do faithfully what God wants us to do today, we can trustfully and safely leave in His hands everything that's going to happen tomorrow. And as we have done faithfully what He wanted us to do today, we can be assured that He will make plain to us what we need to do when tomorrow comes. Let's leave it with Him, shall we? Let's not take what doesn't belong to us. Today belongs to us. Tomorrow doesn't.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.